And we are joined this morning by West Bend Fire Department Captain Kenny Aslin. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. All right, it's a little odd today because coming from my office, so it's been about 3 years since Rick and I have not been in the studio together. So it's I miss you, Rick. I can't wait to be able to be in the studio again and be able to see you.
Yeah, it is. It's been different for these, for these sessions. So, but we're getting through.
Yep. Yeah, so we can just go with our regular format. I got my monthly shout-out. So my first shout-out goes to the longtime administrative assistant for the fire and EMS programs at Moraine Park Technical College, Brenda Weinberger. So Brenda worked behind the scenes for the last 12 years and was invaluable in her assistance with the fire and EMS classes. She's definitely going to be missed by those of us who got to work with her, and we wish Brenda a lot of luck in her future endeavors. Next one goes to Dr. Aurora Liebeck and the Emergency Service Community Educator Karen Novinska from Aurora Regional Health for conducting 3 days of obstetrics and childbirth training at Station 1. The training is essential for our paramedics as part of the continuing education for their paramedic licensure. Also, thank you to Dr. Liebeck for her interview on March 17th on WIBD, where she gave essential information about the coronavirus. And also, thank you to everyone who has donated supplies and given us support through this quarantine period. We have been receiving personal protective equipment, such as eye protection from the Habitat for Humanity Restore, N95 masks from the West Bend School District, and surgical masks from DRC MODIS. We'd like to thank all the people who sewed us reusable face masks, and we would like to thank all the restaurants and individuals who dropped off food at the stations for our firefighter paramedics. We greatly appreciate the support of the community during this unique time that we are experiencing.
Hey, about those the reusable face masks, Ron Knobb was on with me yesterday, and one of the things we talked about was the potential for sterilizing them by sticking them in the microwave for a couple minutes. So no more than we get done talking about that, I get a call from somebody who said, I did that with one that somebody made for me and it started on fire.
Right, and that's usually frowned upon when your mask starts on fire.
Yeah.
So basically, all you got to do is wash them. That's what we're doing here, washing them. For those people who have researched the coronavirus, the soap will kill the coronavirus if it's on the mask, as well as any bacteria or any other parasites, protozoa, whatever on those masks. So really, all you got to do is wash them with regular soap, detergent, and you should be able to clear out and make that a little more sterile again.
Or you could use Tito's vodka.
Yes, you could do that. Or Pabst Blue Ribbon, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that'll help.
Could be. So, all right. Hey, they had some sprinkler saves again.
Yep, so we've got once again, we're lucky enough to have three from Wisconsin. So our monthly sprinkler saves are also known as fires you never hear about because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. You can follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, or go to their website, www.nfsa.org. You can also visit sprinklersaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. And for our listeners who are fire department members, please remember to go to the sprinklersaves.com website and report any sprinkler saves that you have in your fire response area. So our first one at 7:29 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th, the Grand Chute Fire Department was dispatched to the report of a fire on a first-floor patio at Casa Loma Creek Apartments. The contents of the patio started on fire, activating a single sprinkler head mounted above the patio. The single sprinkler head completely extinguished the fire with minimal damage to the patio area. Had there not been a sprinkler system, the situation could have been much different. The sprinkler system activation also activated the fire alarm system throughout the 60-unit condo building, alerting residents to the potential danger. Grand Chute Fire Department thanks all of the residents for evacuating safely and quickly when the alarm sounded. The sprinkler system in the building, constructed in 2018, worked flawlessly to provide life safety and property conservation to the residents and owners. And our next two are from the Racine Fire Department, so I'd like to thank Lieutenant John Magnus for putting these out. On Monday, March 16th at 10:39 p.m., the Racine Fire Department responded to a call for smoke in the hallway on the ninth floor of the McLinn Tower Apartments, 110 7th Street. After a quick investigation of the ninth floor, a fire caused by unattended cooking was extinguished by a single fire sprinkler head located above the stove. The damage was contained to the stove and cabinets. There was one person taken to the hospital with minor burns to the hands. Fire crews cleared the scene after roughly 2 hours. Lieutenant John Magnus of the City of Racine Fire Department reminds people to please remember to stay in the kitchen when cooking. In addition, please do not cook when you're tired.
How common?
This also goes, we just had one last week as well, where a person in one of the apartment buildings here in town, decided to start heating some oil on the stove and went to clean their bathroom. So if you are cooking something on your stove, make sure you're attending to it. Don't go do something else.
How common is it for apartment buildings to have a sprinkler above the stove?
Pretty common, because if an apartment building is supplied with sprinklers, that is actually one of the requirements in the kitchen. So it'll always have something near the oven if you have a sprinkler system in your building.
Ah, gotcha. All right.
And our second one from Racine, on Sunday, March 29th at 2:25 p.m., the Racine Fire Department was dispatched for an apartment fire at 2328 Lonnie Lane. Occupants were standing safely outside when firefighters arrived. Firefighters found an automatic sprinkler system spraying water from a single sprinkler head into the kitchen, where a fire had started on a stovetop and started the cabinets on fire. A smoke alarm was also sounding in the kitchen. No injuries reported at this fire. Damage was limited to $3,300. Now, there's a takeaway from this. Again, I've harped on this a lot of times. The tenants who were renting the apartment did not have renter's insurance. This has been a trend to find apartment occupants who do not have renter's insurance. If you are a renter, please contact your insurance agent to add the coverage to any existing policies. So we've had this here in West Bend a lot of times, where we have an apartment fire and someone doesn't have renter's insurance. Remember, the renter's insurance not only covers your anything that you own. So let's say if you need to replace clothing, furniture, anything like that. But it also, if the damage is caused by you, then you could end up being liable, and the renter's insurance will cover that as well.
And renter's insurance is not expensive. You're looking at you know, less than $20 a month in most cases.
Right. Yeah. And you can even $20 a month to save yourself any amount of money. Think about everything. You're going to insure yourself for $240 a year. If you have a fire and you lose everything, that is going to be far, far more difficult to start replacing things, in the tens of thousands of dollars to replace all your furnishings, all your clothing, all your valuables, anything else that you would have lost. It's a good idea to start shopping around and getting renter's insurance for what you have.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we've got some things going on this month.
Yeah, so we've got National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. So the second full week of April, which is April 12th to the 18th, is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. This week, sponsored by the Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, or APCO International, and celebrated annually, honors the thousands of men and women who respond to emergency calls, dispatch emergency professionals and equipment, and render life-saving assistance to the world's citizens. Remember, these are people who have dedicated their lives to be the first line of defense when it comes to crimes, fires, and ambulance calls. They also handle non-emergency calls and often deal with the public in person. They are the unsung heroes of the 911 system. Thank you first and foremost to our dispatchers at the West Bend Police Department, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are the voice of calm in a sea of disorder. They dispatch our fire and ambulance calls and are always dependable. Thank you to the Washington County Sheriff's Department dispatchers. They are the first line of defense for all cellular 911 calls in the county. They are there for us when we take calls in the town of Barton and town of West Bend. We appreciate all of your help in people's times of need. and all the dispatchers everywhere else. You are truly beacons of light in the darkness. Keep doing what you do to help others. It is greatly appreciated. And so I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. The dispatchers are the equivalent of the offensive coordinator who is making the calls on the field on for a football game. So they're the ones that kind of get everything going, and then the incident commander is kind of like the quarterback, and if it wasn't for the coordinator giving the calls to the people on the scene, we would not be able to do what we do without these dispatchers. So thank you, dispatchers and public safety telecommunicators everywhere. For what you do, you definitely deserve this week. And again, April 12th to the 18th, be sure to thank dispatchers everywhere, wherever you are.
Are you missing sports a little bit there, Kenny?
I am. So you know, without sports on, I was kind of doing some stuff around the house, and I found this woman sitting on my couch. Apparently, she's my wife. She seems nice.
See, one other thing about dispatchers, and you know, part of their job is getting everybody out there, but it seems like they never get closure. They never find out, you know, what happens after you dispatch fire and ambulance and so on and so forth. And I know that's caused that to be a stressful job for some folks. So again, just hats off to all the dispatchers working out there for all they do. And be nice if they could take a night and relax, huh?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I think we have a pretty good relationship with our dispatchers. If they have questions, we're able to answer them for them. So we try to take care of them as best we can. And so they deserve so much more recognition than what they actually get because they do, again, yeah, they are the stress reliever for the person calling 911, just trying to be calm. Every situation they handle, and so it is a great job. I was a dispatcher when I was in college for Brown Deer Police as well as North Shore Fire and Rescue, and I know the stresses that they go under, so I try to take care of them as best as I can. So yeah, just be sure if you know a dispatcher, be sure to thank them, especially during these trying times when they're locked up as well.
Oh wait, and one other thing. Don't get cross with them if you do a pocket dial on 911 and they say, stay where you are because we're going to send someone to double check. That's policy. That's not their choice.
Right, and they do that because sometimes, you know, like let's say 911, and I think we've talked about this before, if somebody dials 911 and there's a lot of missed dials, but there's lots of times where someone does get a chance to make a phone call, but the person that is the perpetrator is standing right there. So the dispatcher has to figure out, is this a real call or is this a fake call? So it might be 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000, but the dispatcher is the first line of defense to figure out if the person is truly in trouble. So, right, if you do make a pocket dial, just be nice to the dispatcher who's trying to figure out if this is real or not real.
And the other thing is, maybe you're having a medical issue and you can manage to dial 911 or hit that button on your phone, but maybe for whatever reason you can't talk or whatever. You know, it's good they're sending somebody to check on you.
Right, and it's happened a number of times. If you do any research, and I've heard of a number of stories in a lot of my trainings where somebody called, and one of the calls was somebody trying to order a pizza, and the dispatcher was keen enough to be able to figure out that the perpetrator was standing there and was able to ask questions to determine what was going on without ever actually knowing what was going on and actually save the person's life.
Right.
So, yeah, this is one of those things that, again, we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where there's people who want to do you harm, and at any time, a dispatcher has to be on their game to be able to figure out if they're just getting a pocket dial or if it's something that's really going on.
Yep. Well, let's move on to road construction season, one of Wisconsin's several seasons.
Two of our favorite seasons in Wisconsin, winter and road construction season. So we've got National Work Zone Awareness Week, which is April 20th to the 24th. So this year is the 20th anniversary of National Work Zone Awareness Campaign. This year's theme is Safe Work Zones for All, Protect Workers, Protect Road Users. So it features a poster reminiscent of the World War II poster with Rosie the Riveter. In her place are a male and female roadway worker proclaiming, "We can do it," which is the original language used in the World War II poster. Michigan chose that image as a reflection of its industrial heritage. Original Rosies worked as riveters in an aircraft factory in Ypsilanti, Michigan, that built B-24 bombers, which is now the site of the American Center for Mobility. Workzone fatal crashes and fatalities had 2018 statistics. These come from www.workzonesafety.org. So in 2018, there were 671 fatal crashes in Workzone. 17 of those were in Wisconsin. 754 fatalities. So again, 17 of those were in Wisconsin. So we had 17 crashes, 17 fatalities in 2018, with 124 total worker fatalities, only one of which in Wisconsin. Here's some more facts from the U.S. Department of Transportation. During the past 5 years, in work zone crashes, more than 4,400 people died and 200,000 people were injured. Drivers are the most frequent fatality in work zone crashes. That goes to say because usually most people in work zones and going to work and back, so they're alone in their car, so the driver is going to take the brunt of that force. Most work zone fatalities involve working age adults. Rear-end crashes are the most common type of work zone crash. Fatal work zone crashes occur most often in summer and fall. The majority of fatal work zone crashes occurred on roads with speed limits greater than 50 miles per hour. Now remember, when you're traveling at 50 miles per hour, the stopping distances for vehicles on a dry roadway are about 300 feet. So you're trying to stop, you're traveling the length of a football field. On a wet roadway, 400 feet, so another one-third of a football field. On icy pavement, 1,250 feet, you're going four football fields before you're able to stop. A loaded 80,000-pound tractor-trailer requires almost 50% more stopping distance. It takes on an extra 25 seconds to cover 1 mile at 45 miles per hour compared to 65 miles per hour. All right, so here's some safety tips for the drivers from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration. Stay alert and minimize distractions. Keep your headlights on. Pay attention to the road. Of course, we've been talking about this a lot. You know, don't be texting, especially in a work zone. Don't be texting or looking at your phone. Merge into the proper lane. Merge well before you reach the lane closure. Be aware of traffic patterns that can change daily. So a lot of times you'll see signs within days before the traffic patterns are going to change. They'll let you know when those are going to change. Don't tailgate. Obey the posted speed limit. Change lanes safely, follow instructions from flaggers, expect the unexpected, that should go without saying, and be patient. So remember that everybody's just trying to get these work zones completed, so it is rough getting through it, but just like now where Americans are resilient, we'll get through everything, including construction season.
You know, the one that makes me crazy is the guy, and you know there's one out there who thinks that he can get four more cars down the line by merging later. You know what I mean? And then we're all doing 35 miles an hour anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, Rick, if you can save 7 seconds to get somewhere, you know, that's 7 seconds you can save. Safety doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does drive me crazy as well. People know well in advance of when they should be merging. Everybody's got to use the roadway. We have to share the road. So, everybody, just be patient. Make sure you're merging as early as possible. Because, again, I brought up all the statistics about the accidents. Those are the people that are usually causing the accidents, or people that are merging in at the last minute, causing someone to swerve, and you don't want to... Everybody wants to get to work. Everybody wants to get home. Be sure to just share the road, be patient, and merge as soon as you can do it.
And I should remind people that fines double in work zones.
They do. Fines do double in work zones, so that's one of those things that it's well worth that not to take that risk to not only not kill someone, but not get the fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what else is going on?
Well, Distracted Driver Awareness Month has been postponed. So that was originally scheduled for April, but postponed by the National Safety Council until later this year. But just because Distracted Driving Awareness Month has been postponed doesn't mean we don't practice good driving habits every month. So we'll wait to talk about distracted driving tips once that event is scheduled, which I think is going to be September. So we can hold off for that one. But again, it's been kind of nice because nobody's been on the road, so it's been easy to get through traffic and everything like that. But once we're through this COVID quarantine, then people will be back on the road again. Traffic will be going. Make sure to practice good driving habits and don't be distracted on the road.
And don't drive faster to make up time for things that you couldn't do this month.
Exactly right. So, you know, we've got plenty of time to get our stuff done. Just everybody relax, take it slow, and we'll make sure that you keep everybody safe.
All right. You got a couple minutes left. Talk about some other things that are coming up this month.
Yeah, so we've got for April, National Alcohol Awareness Month, World Autism Month, National Public Health Week, which is April 6th to the 12th. So I've got those items on the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page. Wisconsin Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week, which is April 13th to the 17th. This year's tornado drill is only going to be a virtual drill on Thursday, April 16th. So the sirens will not go off. But at 1:45 p.m. and 6:45 p.m., people are just should be checking how to do their tornado drills. So get together with your families and practice your tornado drills. Get in your basements. Get low. World Immunization Week is April 24th to the 30th, and National Infant Immunization Week is April 27th to May 4th.
On a programming note, Tim Halbach from the National Weather Service is going to join me next Monday morning for the start of Severe Weather Awareness Week, and we're going to talk about things to do to keep you and your family safe during Wisconsin's severe weather.
Yeah, so we'll have that on, and then for May, so we're going to have a bunch of new guests. So as I try to schedule, and there's a lot of things, and we talked about last year how the May awareness months and weeks is just overloaded with stuff we need to talk about. So we're going to have some guests scheduled. So for Water Safety Month, Julie Hefter. Stroke Awareness Month will be Sam Nolan again. Trauma Awareness Month will be Melanie Sinclair. Arson Awareness Week, we're trying to schedule someone for that, which I believe is the State Fire Coordinator. As well as Home Fire Sprinkler Week, we're going to have Marty King from the National Fire Sprinkler Association.
So lots of guests coming up, and I'll get back to you with to confirm those as soon as I get them confirmed.
Sounds good.
All right. I think that.
Thanks for having me on again, Rick.
You bet. We'll wrap it up. Stay safe out there, and we will chat with you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day.